Hello, friends and folks, and welcome to the Johto Quorum. It's me, Lugia. Welcome to Denny's. Today we're featuring a strawberry vanilla crepe breakfast. We also have the banana berry caramel and the banana chocolate hazelnut. We are offering some strawberry pancake puppies and, of course, our Southwest chorizo burger if you're in more of a lunch mood. Don't forget our build-your-own sampler. We have onion rings, hot wings, and, of course, mozzarella sticks with a side of celery. Can I get you started with some drinks?
Yeah, please. I'll have the power of...
You'll have the water of the sea? Of Guardians of the Sea? Mm-hmm. Alan, what did we watch? What was that movie?
What happened? Hi, yeah, it's the Johto Quorum. This week we watched Pokemon The Movie 2000. Pokemon The Power of One.
So, okay.
The power of gun, you fucking clown.
I mean, like, immediately he starts shooting. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. First of all, why is it called The Power of One? What does that have to do with anything?
Movie. No, so to really rewind, this movie came out on July 18th of 2000. It's the second Pokemon movie. We're not going to watch all the Pokemon movies. We decided upon watching this one and going, oh, no. They're not all as good as the first one and the third one in our brains. So it stars Ash and friends. It takes place during the Orange Islands arc. So he's got Tracy instead of Brock. Thank Christ. Although there is a brief, blink and you'll miss it cameo from Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fucking mess of a movie.
Okay, so first of all, having not watched this far in the anime myself, when I saw Tracy, I was like, I just saw this person, and I was like, why is this background character here? And then I said, hey, Tracy, and I'm like, no, that character doesn't have a name. You're lying.
It's true.
It's just the most generic looking fucking dude.
He looks like a palette swap of Brock, almost, but he's not horny. That's the difference.
So, I appreciate that, but also that's the only thing, that's Brock's only characteristic.
So what happens when you're Tracy? You just, do you know his full name?
Tracel?
No, it's Tracy, Sketchit.
Oh, okay, it's his Latin, okay, like, I thought you meant, like, Tracy was like Johnny. Like, Trace-a-thin.
In Japanese, his name is just Kenji. They were like, okay, what if he was a dude? The Best Wishes arc, the Orange Islands arc of the Pokemon game anime is fun because they don't introduce any new Pokemon, but they're like, we ran out of cities, but the anime is still going. So it's a whole arc of basically filler. It's great.
Cool.
And this takes place during that. I want to start with a quote from this film about the title. Life can be a challenge. Life can seem impossible. It's never easy when there's so much on the line. But you and I can make a difference. There's a mission just for you and me. Just look inside and you will find just what you can do. That was also quoted by former presidential candidate Herman Cain in his exit speech in 2011. He said, I believe these words came from the Pokemon movie.
Oh, yeah.
So... that was my most recent re-encounter with Pokemon the Movie 2000.
So I was going to ask you for the plot of this movie, but I'm not sure you know because I don't.
It goes by so fast, whereas the first movie is like 1:10 and feels like absurdly tight, but like it has a beginning, middle, and end. This movie, mm-hmm. like... minute one, it's like, hi, I'm Melody and I'm Carol, and you're like, wow, what a good pun. And then 2 seconds later they're like, all the weather's broken. And then it, like 3 minutes later they're like, I'm gonna ride on a talking bird. You're like, what is this movie? And then it's done. Like, what are you doing?
So, okay, this character who I'm only learning his name through the wiki, I don't think they ever say the name of Lawrence the Third.
They literally don't. I always knew his name was Lawrence, and they never, because my other experience with this film was I owned the novelization as a kid, and I remembered his name was Lawrence, but they never say it in the movie.
So he's apparently a Pokemon collector. He's got like a fucking like Final Fantasy like second to last dungeon as his like floating like palace, like covered in propellers and magical cannons. He's out of a different, he's out of, you know what he's out of?
What?
He's out of, like, a straight, it's a direct-to-DVD, like, Full Metal Alchemist movie, is this character.
Oh, fuck off, you're
He's
right.
like a knockoff Conqueror of Shambhala.
Oh, shit, Conqueror of Shambhala, that takes me back. He's, yeah, he's, like, on a different level stupid.
And he just doesn't make any sense, like, I don't understand this character. Apparently, he's, like, he's this, like, scheming collector with this, like, gigantic warship that he flies around and shoots at birds?
Yeah. Yep. He shoots, like, cages.
Because one time he got a Pokemon card and it was cool. Like, what?
Yeah, that one felt weird because it's, like, was this just because they gave people this card when they saw the movie? So it's, like, Ancient Mew, like, in the movie. But his backstory, his, like, tragic villain backstory is, like, yo, what's up? I got this Ancient Mew card, and then I got another one, and then I just kept collecting, and now I'm collecting whole-ass birds. Fuck you. I want to collect everything. And he doesn't, like, okay. He doesn't have an arc. He doesn't have a foil. He isn't even defeated.
No, it picks, like, it ends with him, like, in the rubble of his little, his fucking fortress, and him, like, finding his original, you know, Ancient Mew card, picking it up, and like, well, time to start over, which is like, oh, okay, he's just gonna do this again.
Yeah, like, what?
What?
It makes sense that he catches Moltres early on in the film, because Moltres sucks, doesn't exist, eliminated.
Garbage.
Garbage chicken. And there's these three islands. It's very video game, actually. There's
really
three
is.
Islands with three stones on them, and if you mess up the stones, then you really just fuck up weather on, like, a profound level. This is, like, hinting at what ends up becoming Gen 3, actually, with all the whole the weather plot. Whether or not that was intentional, it was not.
Whether or not.
He captures the birds. He gets Moltres first, then Zapdos, and then Articuno. And all of this is in service of his real prey, who is... what was your problem with the
Lugia?
Lugia. There's no I in there. Lugia. So Lawrence rules.
Yeah.
Lawrence is, like, one of the better parts of this movie.
He's good because he's not a Pokemon character.
Right.
Like, honestly, he's good because, like, he's got, like, the fucking, like, Sistine Chapel on the inside of his fucking hovercraft. Like, he's a nut job, and it's great because he has, like, he doesn't have any personality, but he has, no. Ironically, lots of personality.
Right.
Like, he brings a lot to the movie without any of it being his.
He's all cartoonishness with no substance whatsoever. And it's not like he's simple. It's like they literally never put a story in for him.
They never put a story in. Okay, so here's the thing, right? Like, the thing is, like, he goes to capture Moltres, and this sets off, you know, like, the unbalance. And sort of like, oh, okay, by imprisoning Moltres, you've thrown off the elemental balance. Mm-hmm. But then they release the birds, and the birds are just being assholes.
Yeah, they're
and
just mean.
No explanation as to why. They're just like, oh, they're being pricks now. It's like, okay.
They're just all really mean and deadly, and they want to, like, kick people's asses.
And it's like the way they're like, do they want to destroy the world, or is that a natural consequence? Are they trying to fight each other? They at times specifically seem to be attacking, like, Ash. So are they trying to stop him from getting the glass spheres? There's no explanation as to, like, what their motivation is. And, like, these are legendary Pokemon, right? This isn't like, it feels like they're going for, like, a, you know, like the wildness of, like, a natural disaster.
Yeah.
But it's not that. They're alive. They're choosing to do things.
Yeah.
But not for reasons.
Just for, you know, anger. I don't even know which, like, angle to tackle how weird this film is. Again, it's super short. I think they, in this era of the Pokemon franchise, this was, like, my end take of when I was watching the final part of the movie. I think they just had too much money to put into these films and didn't put it in writing. They just put it into CG fights. Because, like, there's all these great effects, and it's like, yeah, all the birds are in the sky and they're, like, kicking ass, and then Ash is, like, freaking out. Everyone's like, we're going to die. And there's just nothing holding that together or justifying why that's a big deal, because we know this is a Pokemon film, so, like, none of it's permanent. Literally the only emotional heart in this film that for me was Ash's mom being like, the reason I worry about you so much is because you put yourself into fucking danger all the time.
Like, I bought into Team Rocket some. Team Rocket was good.
Their final scene is the best Team Rocket thing I've ever heard. That's good, that's bad. That's good, that's bad.
They make a heroic sacrifice where they're like, you know, we just, like, they're realizing that the world could end, so they're like, you know what, let's save the world from devastation, and let's, you know, unite our people within our nation, and they, you know, they step up to the plate and they help Ash, and then as they're trying to get away, they're like, wait a minute, we're too much added weight, we're slowing Lugia down, we have to let go, we mm-hmm. have to fall to our deaths. And they're like, they're falling together, holding hands, and being like, you know, I think we did the right thing. And they just land in water. They're like, oh. Yes, we're fine. I guess we were being melodramatic for no reason.
Which is Team Rocket in a nutshell.
Yep. It's good. Their arc is compelling, I think.
I think.
Well, it's a problem because, like, it's not, like, that's a side plot, right? And mm-hmm. it's like, there is no main plot here. There's nothing to latch onto. There are little things on the side that are, like, kind of all right. There are some great faces. Mm-hmm. The animation really, like, Misty has some great, like, what the fuck did you just say faces. Meowth has some, like, truly, I don't know how the internet hasn't mimed some of Meowth's, like, meme faces. Mm-hmm. Because Meowth really excited at a pun that he's just made is pretty incredible.
There is a couple of, like, not naughty jokes, but, like, higher level humor that they do in this film that they don't do. I mean, they say sex more than once, which was like, whoa, kind of cool. They're talking about biological sex, but it's a whole gag where, like, Jesse and James are like, or someone's like, I think Misty's like, that's why I hate men or whatever. The other sex is stupid. And then Jesse and James are like, haha, they do suck. And then Meow has the gall to be like, that's why you two like each other, because you both hate the other sex. And they're like, what? Meow, what? What? And they keep saying these things. They make an STD joke at one point, Krabbies and Crabs. I think this is another one of those things where the dub might just be weird.
I mean, okay, so you wanna talk about the lore of the Pokemon world. We know, like, in a lot of ways, the Pokemon world and ours are very different. Mm-hmm. But there are some similarities. For example, the Minnesota Vikings exist. Right. Also, we learned in this movie that McDonald's exists because the fillet of fish exists.
Correct.
Because Meowth makes a reference to the fillet of fish. So the worlds are merging. I think this is actually an ARG.
Oh, fuck. This is I Love Bees, but it's I Love Lugia?
It's I Love the new quarter pounder with cheese made with fresh beef, never frozen McDonald's. I'm
Wait.
loving it. I'm loving my job.
Also, according to the wiki, one of the dub edits was that they changed, like, this also happened in the Mewtwo film, they changed the themes of the film for the dub. Yeah. So the whole Power of One thing doesn't make sense in the version we watched, because they don't say anything about how a single person can make anything amazing happen. The dub emphasized individualism. The primary theme was meant to emphasize codependence. No, so it's the opposite!
So it's like the power of one person being supported by a lot of other people.
The power of one and all, and one and everyone.
It's, I get, because, like, Ash shows up and there's just this whole, like chosen one plot, which, like, okay, it's a kid's movie. All right, fine. But, like, earlier in the movie, where we get, like Ash washes up on the shore of this island, and they're like, oh, hi, I'm a Pokemon trainer. And they're like, oh, you're a Pokemon trainer?
Yeah,
and I think Misty should have been like, so am I. And Tracy should have been like, and so am I. Like, fucking, they're everywhere. Like, that's not special. What? I don't understand
any
of this.
Also, so there's the older sister, Carol, and the younger sister, Melody. And Melody's introduced as this, like, fucking badass, like, 2000s tough girl who's just like, yo, what's up? What's up, shitlords? Like, not literally blowing a popping a bubblegum, but basically doing that. And yeah. They're like, ugh, that's my shitlord sister, Melody. And then, like, a scene later, they're like, yeah, but she's the island girl, so that's her role now in the film. Like, what was any of that? Why did she do that?
I mean, they also do that where, like, Ash is, like, they're presenting Ash with, like, his destiny, and he has to go and, like, you know, run to this other island, and it's going to be very dangerous because all the birds are attacking, and he starts to, like, tear up, and he's like, listen, I'm scared, you know, like, I could die, this is terrible, and he starts to, like, lower, and his eyes start to water, and his voice wavers, and everybody's like, you can do it, and he's like, yeah, I can, and just goes.
It's oh, like, shit, I guess, oh, I can totally, all right, do it.
I guess you solved that in literally one frame.
Isn't there a part later where they're like, The dumbest part in the movie also where they keep talking about the prophecy. What the hell is the prophecy? Oh, the world shall turn to ash. And they keep saying it and saying it. I'm like, the character in the... This is some high-level dub work, you guys. The world shall not turn to Satoshi. And then he's like, oh, is it about me? Oh, I'm... He, like, basically looks to camera and goes, I'm the chosen one? And it's like, Ash, literally everywhere you go, you're the chosen one. You are eternally the special boy.
If there was a robot, you would be made to get in it.
Exactly. And then you'd be so sad. Also, for what it's worth, in case somehow someone corrects us, Tracy himself is not a Pokemon trainer. He's a watcher.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't own any Pokemon. He just draws them.
Okay.
Just to be pedantic. Yeah. What's up?
I'm just imagining Ash staring down a Zaku, like, on foot, turning around his baseball cap and yelling, you're mine, and then punching it in the shin.
And then hurting his hand. Yeah, that's perfect.
You're mine!
And then it makes the Gundam flexing noise that we like so much.
Such a good sound. It's
so good!
It's hard to replicate with your mouth. It's true.
Yeah, a lot of things are. It is not... This movie is such a mess. Remember Professor Ivy's in it? This is the Brock cameo.
Professor Ivy's in it, and I think her voice actor... I like, was she trying to subvert things? I can't even accuse her of, like, being bad. She wasn't bad. She was like... she was like, it looks like the world is being destroyed. Like, what is...
She brings nothing. She brings nothing to that performance. I don't know. I think that is Ivy's deal. Also, Ivy is like, she's one of the Orange Islands people. So the thing is, the way they get rid of Brock is they meet Professor Ivy, and she's this like super sexy Pokemon professor. The time they first meet her, she's got a lab coat and a bikini on. And he's
and
like,
she's like, hey, what's up?
And I she's love like, sex. Hello, I like sex and I have boobs. And Brock's like, oh, I guess I'll drop literally the rest of my life for you. She has these like three assistants, and then she takes on Brock, and it's fucking stupid.
Okay, cool, great. Just, I really have to hear her Japanese voice now because I assume it's...
What if it's like extremely over the top?
I mean, they've got to be doing something, right? It's got to be some kind of trope, like some classic trope that just we at the time weren't used to in Western fiction, right?
Right. Or, yeah, some like, either they're going even like deeper into deadpan or like go, I don't know. I have no idea. I think her Japanese voice actor is like famous. Yeah, she was in Sailor Moon, pal. She was Luna. She was Luna.
Okay, so... Yeah, then my theory is entirely correct.
Which is that
she was doing kind of I don't know how to describe it, but like, you know, Luna Luna has a voice.
Oh my god. She was also Lala in Mobile Suit Gundam.
And Iselina. Yes.
That's incredible. That's god tier. What an amazing voice actress. Shout outs to Keiko Han. That's fucking... You did all my favorites, basically. And then she was Spider-Woman in the Japanese dub of Iron Man.
Remember when Iselina died of being too dramatic?
Right.
For people who didn't watch Gundam, she's not an important character, so I feel okay mentioning this. But Iselina is part of an attempt to take down the Gundam, and when it fails, she dramatically faints off of a tall structure and dies because she falls to her death.
That feel, I hate it when that happens, man. Oh my god. God, legendary. I did not know that that's motherfucking Professor Ivy in Japanese. Let's rewatch this movie in Japanese and see if any of it makes sense.
Maybe we should.
Be right back. Here's a cut. Boop. Wow, it doesn't make sense. Good talk. Festival maidens. Like, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
This is like, I mean, this is a kid's movie, right? And like, on the one hand, it's like, oh, I'm just, you know, I don't come here to beat up a kid's movie. But like, listen, we're a Pokemon podcast. We're pretty far into quote-unquote kid stuff that we like a whole hell of a lot.
This is a game for kids, so let's be adults, right? Like, that's the whole idea.
And like, it's not like we saw, you know, first movie as kids, but then we only saw this one just now. We saw this one as kids, too. It's just a bad movie.
Yeah, it kind of, like, thing is that, and it's hard, it's unfair to compare it to the first movie, because that was like their big, huge budget, like we're tossing everything into it. And this felt like, oh, we still have the budget, but we didn't like put time into writing it, because they had to immediately capitalize on that success before the flash in the pan was gone. But Pokemon, the first movie, like has ideas and themes beyond just its visuals, and like kids and adults can enjoy things about it. This movie, it seems designed for kids that don't have an attention span of 2 seconds. Like, if you, like, I watched this while playing Final Fantasy 14, and every time I looked at it, I'm just like, oh, we're on an island now. Oh, we're flying now. And I, like, think that is actually pretty accurate to the way that somebody watching it as a kid would just be like, oh, shit. like, no, I don't care about the plot, but, like, whoa. The boat's going to get flipped over. Now there's a huge wave. Like, it has no connecting thread between any of those things that are happening.
And I think the one thing that worked for me as a kid that still worked for me as an adult was the part where Slowking was standing out there and it started to snow really intensely and he said, I need pants. I was like, man, good for you.
Yes! Oh yeah, I forgot to mention Slowking basically has no productive role in the film other than at the end he talks to Ash. But he's the voice actor is so good and so funny with that. It's that's good deadpan, actually.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty. He's just sort of hanging out and knowing what's going on, but like just sort of like really chill about it. It's very good.
Hands behind his back, like you were saying, Slowking always is. And he's just like, wow, Ash is going to get wrecked. Wow, I should really get some pants. The weather's broken. That's weird. Fun fact, according to Takeshi Shudo's blog, the ancient new card was originally going to play a major role in an earlier treatment of the movie. Although after it was rewritten, all references to the card except for the brief showing of it were cut. He acknowledged its presence in the film was a mistake on his part. So this was definitely a movie that was like chopped and screwed into the mess that we saw. So it's worth being like, well, that happened. But
what if they made a movie around like a person who turned Pokemon into cards?
Ooh, like the build fighters of Pokemon?
Yeah, but I mean, like, well, not like he brought cards to life. Like, he captured Pokemon, then he was like, in order to, you know, like, keep them, he turned them into cards. And then you could actually have some moralizing, because when you have, like, this guy trying to catch an Articuno, and you're like, how dare you? And the player is shifting, the person watching is shifting uncomfortably in their seat, like, I caught an Articuno. Does that make me a bad person? Like, the inconsistency. But obviously turning them into cards would be bad.
Oh, shit. This movie's the first reveal of Ash's mother, Professor Oak, and Professor Ivy's first names.
Huh.
We didn't know his name was Samuel. We didn't know her name was Delia until this film. First movie where Brock isn't a main character. Some of the Pokemon in the cover aren't in the movie. For some reason, Pikachu and Zapdos can communicate through electricity, which Meowth can understand. That makes no sense. They can both talk. Whereas Tim Robbers would say talk.
I just watched the clip of Brock meeting Professor Ivy.
Oh, yeah?
Is that the same voice actress? It does not seem like it. If it is, she's doing something incredibly different with her voice.
Really? Than she was with everything else?
Yes. Well, than she was in this movie. Like, I mean, in this little in this little scene of them meeting her. Very, very, very different.
Oh, you're saying in English she's doing it?
Yeah, I mean, like, even in English, it's just a completely different voice.
She really? Yeah, that's so weird.
So, I don't know. Maybe
she gave nothing in this film. You're right.
Yeah, well, whatever. I don't know. Like, what else do we have to say about this movie? Should we just move on? This movie is kind of nothing. It's a bad movie.
It's a bad movie. It doesn't hold up to any sort of, like, criticism or thinking. It's got fun parts. The CG is incredibly bad. They clearly just had budget and didn't know what to do with it. Talking Slowking is fun. Yeah, we basically hit all my bullet points. And Lugia is kind of cool, I guess. That's it.
We need Mewtwo's counterattack.
Buck.
We keep saying it. We need Mewtwo to drop an asteroid on the Earth. That would be a good plot.
It's so weird that the connecting thread of the Pokemon films now, in the two that we've seen, is the legendary talks in like a booming human male's voice. And that's going to continue for at least one more film.
But like in the first movie, he was like a, you know, like sort of like sinister, menacing like character. And then in this movie, he's like trying to sell you shaving cream.
Right. He's got a very advertising voice.
It's very weird. It does not sound like I would expect Lugia to sound like, or Lugia. Maybe it's if I thought about what Lugia would sound like, then Lugia.
If you thought about what Molly would sound like.
Molly.
They always have a little girl. No, the first one didn't. I'm trying to find more connecting thread between the first three. Because these three form sort of a trilogy, in a way, in terms of films I want to watch. That's the connection. And honestly, I know it's not necessarily a precipitous drop after that, but literally the next movie in the row, I'm like, no, I don't want to watch these anymore.
Well, I tell you what, let's drop into a different kind of trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Wah Buffett, which is not a trilogy. I lied to you.
Jimmy Wah Buffett.
Oh, right. We didn't talk about Wah Buffett, but we did have the Jimmy Wah Buffett thing from... Yeah. It sounds like probably we should keep Wah Buffett then. I guess we've kind of already... Well, no, we did say that we could have Pokemon that were mascots that were not kept. So let's talk about number 202.
Sonans. What was the other thing? Oh, also, speaking of... Sorry, briefly. Putting too much money into Pokemon 2000, the music in that film is good. And has nothing to do with anything. Like, in the end credits, they do the Power of One song by Donna Summers, which is, like, good. That's where the Herman Cain quote comes from. And then there's a Polka... It's a song called Pokemon by Weird Al Yankovic. It's, like, a 30-second song. You didn't stay for the credits, I'm assuming?
Oh, no, I heard that.
Yeah,
I got that.
That was ridiculous. And then there was, like, a... basically Boys to Men song. It was weird. But anyways, Wah Buffett is he's based on a Japanese comedian, right? That's like the gag.
I guess so, yeah.
Origin, based on a punching bag, also based on Okiagari Koboshi doll. Oh, also maybe based on the late Japanese comedian Sanpei Hayashiya, who was famous for repeatedly touching his hand to his forehead while saying one of his traditional trademark lines, Sonansu Okusan. Do you know what that means?
I mean, yes.
That's the way it is, ma'am.
Yeah. You got to work on your pronunciation, but we'll get past
that. Thank you. I'm working on it. I'm reading that book that everyone tells you to read when you learn Japanese. I'm going to keep referencing it and never look up what it is. That's the new gag.
Great. Good stuff.
I think Wah Buffett's kind of fun, but like, what is it as a Pokemon? It's a punching bag.
Yeah, it's the patient Pokemon. It's very chill.
It's chill. We said it. Wait, which one did we say was a very chill dude? That wasn't Wah Buffett. It was
no.
Who the fuck was that? Oh, Quagsire.
Sure. Yeah.
Just holds
his
mouth open. The book is called Genki, an integrated... What is it? An integrated course in elementary Japanese. When I looked it up, it was like one of the most famous Japanese textbooks. Sorry for the distractions. Wah Buffett. He's got the funny eyes. He's very patient. In the games, he has the mirror coat thing, which makes like most attacks just reflect off of him. I always thought that was cool, but it was like such an edge case use thing that I never used Wah Buffett in like a team.
If two or more Wah Buffett meet... they will turn competitive and try to outdo the other's endurance. However, they may try to see which one can endure the longest without food. Trainers need to beware this habit.
Don't put yours near mine or else they'll die from starvation. Because they're competitive idiots. Wow, I can relate.
But, like, competitive idiots over, like, I bet I can do less than you. Man. So what do we want to talk about? This is one of the ones that has a gender difference.
Oh, yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah. It's the Miss Pac-Man of fucking gender differences.
Yeah, they're not wrong.
They put lipstick on Wah Buffett and made it a girl. It's bad. Don't do that, guys.
It's a bad choice. I'm not a big fan.
It's like tilting towards offensive also, just to like put lipstick on and now that's the joke, because it looks like it's trying to look like a girl.
Well, especially because it's based on the idea of like a slapstick comedian.
Yep.
And then you're starting to play into some uncomfortable territory, I would say.
Yorp. Is Wah Buffett the Jinx of Gen 2?
I wouldn't go that hard. I think Boba Fett's all right. I think there's a. I think this is an unfortunate decision, but like we could say, you know, don't do the female form, and we'd be fine. I think.
Yeah, Boba Fett, but only male.
Mm-hmm. Or just, I mean, like we, you know, there can be like female, just make them look different.
Do we want to talk about the tail? Is that worth mentioning?
Sure, it's weird.
It has a Pokedex entry about it that I like. Hold on. It was like, where is it? I love the wiki sometimes. It desperately tries to keep its black tail hidden. It is said to be proof the tail hides a secret. Don't ask about the tail. Just don't ask. Don't be rude. Don't talk to the tail. Don't look at it. It's got eyes, but that's fine.
And it's also generally really chill, but if you mess with its tail, it will fuck you up.
Exactly.
That's also some Pokedex canon. Huh.
It hates light and shock. If attacked, it inflates its body to pump up its counter-strike. It is never first to attack.
I'm down with Wobbuffet.
It endures a lot. They've gone through a lot. And I respect that.
Wasting away in Margaritaville. we're going to say cut that female form, though.
Yes, for sure.
That's no bueno.
Put it in the list.
Done.
On the board. Next up, number 203, Kiriniriki, Girafarig. I want to start by saying I really like Girafarig's design. I think it's a really good, like, the color work is great. Pink, white, black, yellow. It doesn't evolve. It's never evolved. I feel like its evolution could be really cool if they made one up, though. Like, they could do something with the tail. What is it with Johto Pokemon having weird tails? What's the deal?
There you go. There it is. I was waiting for you to say it.
That's now a thing.
Look at the black and white where it's got an animation there, and you can see the tail being involved.
Oh, please don't tell me the tail opens its mouth or something. Hold on. I'm going to scroll down. Please do not. Oh, it chomps. Nope. I hate it. Nope. I really hate that. What do we got for Pokedex entries? Do we have anything good? Its tail has a small brain of its own. Beware! If you get close, it may react to your scent and bite. That's fucking terrifying. I say keep it. Girafarig is an herbivore. Okay, that's fine. It eats trees and tree shoots and grass. While it's eating, its tail makes chewing motions as if it were also eating. So it doesn't need to feed the tail, but the tail does react. It can instinctively fight when facing backwards. I like that. The tail doesn't sleep either. This is okay. They're actually doing something with the tail. Like, while Buffett's not doing anything with its tail other than protecting it.
Well, what it's doing with the tail is it's keeping it a secret. All of these things could be true about Wobbuffet's tail, and we wouldn't know. Because Wobbuffet has some common decency, unlike Girafarig here.
I'm trying to go back, but the wiki's slow. What are the other Pokemon in this gen so far that have tails? Or have, like, unique tails? Apom?
You're expecting me to remember things from the past.
No, I'm sorry, you're right. Apom, Wobbuffet, Girafarig, not Sudowoodo. Azumarill kind of has a weird tail, a little like Pokey or the Marill also.
Mm-hmm.
Like slightly weird. I don't know, they're doing a lot with tails now. I don't think that makes things cool. And that's more a criticism of like maybe the Hoenn Dex isn't amazing just because they like did the gag of like what if the tail was weird a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I just really like the way Girafarig looks. Like, I can't get over aesthetically how much I dig that. It looks like a mascot.
Of what?
Like a sports team.
It looks like, I feel like its back half looks like the mascot of a sports team and its front half exists.
Like, you know how, like, you look at Umbreon or you look at Mistrevious and you're like, damn, that's good coloring.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd see when I look at Girafarig.
When I look at Girafarig, I'm like, damn, that sure is some, like, AA ball team, right?
But that's a high school baseball team.
Yeah, that's like the Girder Bay Girafarigs.
Oh, and it's normal psychic, so it's like a psychic horse. I mean, it's a psychic giraffe, excuse me.
I don't like that it has two mouths. If the only mouth was on the tail, I actually would like that better.
It didn't have a mouth on the front?
I feel like that would be more interesting.
It, like, runs at you, and you're like, oh my god, it's gonna bite, and then it just politely turns around and goes, yum, yomps on you with the tail.
Or if it's just, like, staring you down with its head while its tail has a meal.
Oh my god. It's in the same camp as Bouffalant and Tauros in that it is the normal type that doesn't evolve. Excuse me, if we're not going to talk about the future, it's just Tauros and nothing else. nothing else that exists. I don't know about Giraffe. Because then this is like, do we keep it for aesthetics or do we not keep it because, like, I don't know, we get a better, like, there are more normal type horses later?
Well, normal psychic is weird enough that I guess I could keep it for, I like that juxtaposition well enough. I feel, it seems like it should be normal dark given its little spooky face there, but.
Yeah. Zeb Striker has a similar kind of visual design, I guess. Not exactly, but it's sort of like, what do you call the lower side of a horse? Jesus Christ. But the butt side.
The hindquarters?
Thank you. Its hindquarters are basically Zebstrika. And then its top.
Except for Zebstrika doesn't have a fucking mouth on its ass.
Yeah, that's true. So it's got a unique thing about it. So keep Giraffe Rig.
If you want to keep Giraffe Rig, I guess that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not
a big fan, but I don't care.
I think it's
much.
One of those, like, Giraffe Rig gets a chance. I want you to have a chance to improve, hon. I think you can do better.
Also, well, that sounds like a cut.
Good shinies. No, it's more like I hope it. Okay, fine. We can cut your Giraffrig. It's fine.
All right. I'm just saying, like, if you're like, we should keep it because it can do better. It's like,
yeah, we can do better by cutting it. Sorry, Giraffrig.
Huh.
Oh, here's another weird parallel to Gen 1.
Pineco.
Pineco.
It's a bagworm Pokemon?
Kunugidama. What does that mean? Oh, Kunugi, which means sawtooth oak, and Tama, which means ball. Oh, sawtooth oak. Oh, I've seen these. Native to China, Korea, Japan, Indochina. Oh! So, remember how we always talk about how Gen 2 is cool because it's very, like, Japanese-specific?
Mm-hmm.
Sawtooth oak. Not in the United States. Just, like, a cool tree. And the
hell
pine
cones
look weird. They don't explode, though. But that's that's what makes it a Pokemon. They also don't have eyes. Well,
also because there's a worm in there. It's bug type.
Oh, you're right. It's
so
just
I
pure
assume
bug.
The explosion is the worm like breaking out of its shell and is doing just fine.
I almost just like gut feeling want to say keep Pineco, kill Fortress. Maybe.
I mean, Fortress is bad.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm thinking about bagworms. I didn't understand. That's literally like there is a bug within the pine cone.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually kind of cool. And then Fortress, kind of not. It's not a name that rolls off the tongue well. It's Bug Steel, which is actually an okay combo, but there are better Bug Steel types later.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything good about Fortress before we decide to just get it out of our lives?
Nope.
It's encased by a hard shell. Its peering eyes are all that can be seen of its mysterious innards. Have you seen Shelder? She's right there looking at you. Answer her phone calls. Sorry, if you can't tell, A, I'm sick, and B, I was home alone earlier, which is why I've been yelling a lot. I honestly think keep Pineco because the whole bagworm thing is sick, and cut Fortress. Because it looks like nothing. It looks like a rusty walnut.
I can imagine a very fucked up, like, bug-type gym, where as you're going through, the gym leader is just throwing pine cones at you like grenades.
Right.
So
get down!
I'm willing to keep you.
Get on the ground!
Scatter! Pine co! What's the pin on a pine co?
Oh, shit. You pull the wing
just
of
like,
a bagworm out.
Do you just poke it in the eye and then throw it?
Ow! Why does it blow up? What's inside? Is it just nitroglycerin? Like, what's the what's like the composition of a pineco? Nothing. It also the shell is to protect it from getting poked by a bird Pokemon and then blowing it up. That's great.
All right, let's talk about Dunsparce.
So, Dunsparce is a bit of a meme in the community because Dunsparce in the game is considered one of the most useless Pokemon It's basically there's a cave in one of the early routes that only exists so that once you have Flash, you can get through the cave. And the cave is full of these Dunsparce. So it's colloquially referred to as Dunsparce Cave. Is it not? Gen 2, what is that? Dark Cave. Yeah, literally. It's called Dark Cave. There's nothing in there except some items and then like a ton of Zubats and then like some Dunsparce. They have a low spawn rate, so you're supposed to be like, oh shit, it's Dunsparce. Like, I caught a land snake. That's so cool. And then you get it, and it's just a fucking sad worm. It doesn't do much.
Yeah, it's incredibly lame.
So keep Dunsparce, then?
No. That was not where I was leaning.
The thing is, also, nothing looks special about it. It's kind of got, like, tiny wings for hands. When spotted, it escapes by burrowing it into the ground with its tail. Same. It has a drill for a tail. It uses it to burrow into the ground backwards. It's known to make its nest in complex shapes deep underground. That's kind of cool. It can fly. Aw, Diamond and Pearl say, it digs into the ground with its tail and makes a maze-like nest. It can fly just a little. Aw. I'm sorry, Dunsparce. I feel bad, but I think you gotta go, man. Like, either evolve or do something cool. I don't know.
And I mean, let's be real. If you evolved, we'd probably just include your evolution and not you.
And then not you, sorry. Like, I don't know. You go into a cave. We've talked about this a lot. It's like, what kind of Pokemon do we want in this new Pokemon universe? When you go into a cave, what do you want to run into? You want to run into Crobat? You want to run into Zubat? You want to run into our next Pokemon, Gligar?
Gligar is a fucking friend.
Gligar is my best friend, and you'll never hurt him. Because I fucking love Gligar so much. The big tongue!
Gligar is like a bat scorpion, yeah, with like a big tongue and a gremlin face. And I really love that, like, the tongue is always out, but when Gligar is really, like, intensely in action, the tongue just slides off to the side like it's doing, like the colon P emoji.
Which is your favorite emoji, so... That's perfect. Gligar is so good. It's such a simple design. It kind of looks like a kid dressing up as like Batman's like sidekick. It's shiny is blue, which is actually pretty neat. The wiki says it's a parallel to Sneasel, because they both get evolutions in Gen 4 and have like the same base stats. Oh, are they like version specific? I don't know. But Gligar absolutely stays. We'll have to talk about Gliscor in 1,000 years. This is another one that has a dumb evolution. But it's just good design, good color, nice tongue, very funny. I'd love to see this. It's ground and flying type, which is actually a good combo. It's not poison type, despite being, I guess, a bat? What? Oh, it's a scorpion. It's a fly scorpion.
It's a scorpion bat thing.
Is that a real thing, fly scorpion?
Sure.
Wait, please don't be real. Please don't be real. This is going to make me sad. Scorpion fly. Meet this fly with a scorpion tail. It's real. I super hate it. I say keep Gligar.
All right. Sounds good. You want to talk about some... Oh, boy. You sent me a picture. I wish you hadn't.
I'm sorry. I needed to make you suffer with me.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No, thanks. It's based on a gross thing, but they made it super cute, so good on them.
Yeah, salvaging that little nightmare.
Nightmare.
Let's talk about...
Another little Steelix. Nightmare.
Steelix.
Hagenail.
Nothing little about this nightmare. It's 30 feet.
Jesus, Arceus.
That's a big boy.
It evolves from Onix when trading a metal coat. It can evolve into Mega Steelix using the Steelix site.
So here's the thing about trade evolutions.
They suck.
They also don't make any sense. Like, especially this one, right? Like, I can understand sort of, like a Alakazam, where it's like, oh, it gets traded and, like, this is depressing. But, like, separation anxiety, it starts to feel really anxious and it's like, I've got to up my game or this new person's going to throw me out too. But like what? With Steel Coat, is it like it gets so anxious that it just like dumps metal on its head? Like what happens?
Well,
What?
I feel like we might have talked about this at some point, but we're also going to have to talk about this a lot in Gen 5, because Gen 5 has the best trade evolution of all time. It's also the best generation. The idea of trading, as I've come to understand it, is that the Pokemon is, like, mutating through the trading process. It's going through, like, a sort of, like a unnatural evolution by being traded. So by keeping Onix next to a steel coat, it's fusing with the metal coat. It's fusing with the metal coat and developing a steel outer shell.
So why?
Because that's how trading works.
Why is that how trade? Like, what is it about, like, handing something to someone else that exposes it to fucking, like, cosmic radiation like the Hulk? Like,
well, because when you're trading to a different Pokemon, it's like trading it to a different, like, reality where that's its owner. Like, I know, like, if you look at, like, the animation for trading, it's, like, going through a tube, and then, like, some magic bullshit happens, and then it's in the other person's Pokemon game.
So you're putting him in, like, the Capsule Corporation, like, time machine, and they're firing through, and they're getting bombarded by, like, time rays or whatever.
That's how I get it. That's how I understand it.
Okay. Okay. I get it.
Pokemon that evolved to trading. It's a lot. I'm trying to think how this, if my logic holds up through everybody. I mean, like, Haunter to Gengar, yeah, because it gains, like, solidity. Machoke to Machamp makes perfect sense. It, like, mutates more arms. Like, I've always thought that made somewhat sense. And then Seadra to Kingdra, I guess, in holding a dragon scale, it becomes dragon type. That kind of makes sense.
Sure.
It's messy. There's no, like, perfect answer for this, but that's kind of how I get it. I don't actually, it's funny, is I'm saying all this, I don't think we should keep Steelix.
Okay. There is Mega Steelix. Well, how do you feel about Mega Steelix?
It's all right. It's different enough from Onix that it's kind of cool. Steelix is basically just Onix, but with steel type.
Yeah. But it's got the jaw.
Dark Bite. Crunch. And the weird teeth.
Like, Onix is a bad design. I think we cut Onix.
Oh,
right?
If we cut Onix, then we gotta keep Steelix.
Do we?
I want a big snake. Big snack? Or no. How about, is Onix cut? Is there, wait, can you confirm that?
Yeah, we cut Onix, yeah.
So then keep Mega Steelix only.
Okay, I'm down with, you know what? Silly. I think we should keep both in that case. Because okay. I think having Steelix be this random, like, metal snake that turns into this big motherfucker.
Diamond snake. Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Sorry, Onix.
I'm not sorry. But, you know, that's sort of my role on this podcast. You're the one who, like, has remorse. You know, I was talking, this was a while ago, but I was talking with a listener, and, man, they, like, let me find it. This'll, so, we were talking about, we were talking about, Plusle and Minion, which we haven't gotten to yet, and they were like, I mean, I think you think those Pokemon are cool, so you'll probably keep them, but then I thought it, like, quote, and then I thought it would be a very sick thing would be to keep one and discard the other. just come out like, you know what, red is a shitty color.
We're cutting Plusle.
It's like, it's like, actually, that does sound like me.
On one hand, rude, on the other hand, completely true.
It's hard for me to argue with.
Plus is the red one, sorry, excuse me. I had to get that right. Yeah, well, whatever. Again, we've talked about this. One of the rule number one of the Johto Quorum is there are no rules. There's no logic to, like, why would you keep Plusle but not mine? It's because we did. We're not good.
We haven't gotten there.
I know we haven't gotten there yet, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, yes, it's a very sick thing to do, just throw chaos into the bunch, because there is no order, there is only chaos. We're keeping
Steelix. Oh, I love God of War.
Don't. Boy!
I think I made Alan mad. I don't get to do that very often.
You're going to make me vomit also.
All right, well, let's talk about Snubbull.
Snubbull. Hello.
That's a good voice. You did a good job there.
Thank you.
That was a good voice.
I listened to the last Johto Quorum where every one of my voices, I could hear you quietly steaming, and then by the last one, you were like, Alan, don't do the voices anymore. And I was like...
They all sound the same, except for this time it sounded different.
I'm not going to overreact this time like I did on the podcast, but again, the anime makes a lot of them sound the same.
And I think that's a flaw with the anime. I appreciate that you are just carrying over a flaw, but it's the sins of the father, and you should stop.
Whoa. This novel is based on a, I can't pronounce this in Scottish, so I'm just going to think it's, I think it's Cushy, yeah. Like Catchy and Cushy, the Celtic thingies. Literally translates to dog fairy, which is why it was one of the first announced fairy types when that typing came out.
That makes sense.
It's now pure fairy type. It was normal type until Gen 6. That's your name, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dog. It's got, like, a dress. It doesn't look like a Cushy, though. It's just like a dog with a dress.
Mm-hmm.
So Stumble's design is not amazing.
But if you look at the gold sprite and also the crystal one, it likes, like, putting its hands together and, pressing them on its stomach, yeah. like it is wearing, like, a little summer dress.
Oh, I like that. It's like a little Marilyn Monroe Pokemon. It's like, don't touch.
I'm kind of all right. I don't feel that strongly. I feel like I'm partially sold based on of course Pikachu's Vacation, and I don't know how much that's valid.
It's your valid six.
I don't know, Alan. What do you think?
Well, it's then a conversation of, do you keep this or Granbull then? Granbull Fantasy. I'm so happy. Well, I just came up with that. That just hit me like a ton of bricks. Fuck.
Okay, so Granbull is just
a big dog.
Yeah, it's a dog with some huge teeth. Big, I guess they're tusks at this point.
Heckin'
right?
Chompers, yeah.
I might like Granbull better.
Really?
There's something about, like,
it's an orc. It's a World of Warcraft orc.
But it's, I mean, I see what you're saying, but also it's just a big chompy dog that's fairy type. It's fairy type and it looks like that.
Yeah.
That rules.
It's so strange to think maybe this is the time where we decide to keep Granbull and not Snubbull. Snubbull.
I feel like Snubbull has a lot of different design elements that don't really cohere together. I feel like the dress doesn't combine with the ears, combine with the eyes, combine with the mouth. I feel like they're all just disparate elements.
Yeah.
And Granbull is a fairly straightforward design, but it's just like, it's like a bulldog that has tusks and doesn't have your shit. It's not gonna take it.
Also, Granbull in Japanese is Granbulu. So, like, what is Granblue in Japanese? Are those the same hiragana? No, obviously not, right? They can't be. I'm literally going to compare the hiragana right now. Here we go. This is...
I think they'd be pretty much the same.
Hold on. This is Granblue. That's what the video game is called. The Pokemon is called this. Oh, fuck! They're the same!
Mm-hmm.
It's just... Wow! That's great. Just, so it is just Granblue.
I think it's just Granblue Fantasy.
Oh, that's great. So this is the gacha Pokemon. We're going to keep Granblue and cut Snubbull.
Also, look at that shiny. Just simple and good.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Also, look at the black and white sprite where it's just ready to fucking punch.
Let me at him. Looks like he's going to kick my ass. They don't make it clear enough that what its collar is, but if it's like a spiked collar, then that honestly sells it for me. Not just because I'm really into collars, but that's like cute and funny.
Also because it's, you know, clearly trans.
That too. If I look up Granbull trans on Twitter, do you think I'm going to get like something? I'm going to get a hit, probably.
Probably. I'm looking up Granbull Fantasy.
Oh, please. Yeah.
No. Damn it. I'm getting a lot of ladies, but nothing actually with the Granbull.
I like the... I got it! Yes!
You got it?
Yes! 75% of Snubbull Granbull are butch as fuck. Butch trans gals. Snubbull and Granbull are advocates for queer and trans rights. We stand them. Granbull is trans. So in, like, baby Granbull trans, it's those colors, too. Dude with my favorite Pokemon 4, he's a Granbull. Yes, it's him. He's trans like me. Aw, this is great!
Yeah, let's keep Granbull. Granbull rules.
There's also an account called Trans Pokemon Bot that literally just goes down the list of all Pokemon and says is trans. But it ended with Sylveon is trans, which is so good.
That's a good stopping point.
I was going to say, is this a good stopping point? But I feel like we could go a little more.
I think this is a good start. Combined with our movie discussion, this is a good place to call
it. Oh, yeah. We recorded that like 8 days ago, so I forgot that we did that, just for the listener at home.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's accurate.
And true. Wait. I was looking at... it's like sending me a cursed image. I was looking ahead, just briefly, and I always... So, wait, no. Quillfish doesn't evolve into Octillery. Remoraid evolves into Octillery. We're going to have to talk about that soon.
We are
gonna get indeed. There. Sure, we got Shuckle coming up. Oh, we got some friends coming
up. We have some people coming up on our agenda
here on the Johto Quorum.
Alan,
six.
Lugia deserved better.
Did they?
I like Lugia. Lugia's a good Pokemon.
I kept thinking when Lawrence the Third was like. And finally, I'll get the Pokemon I need. And I thought he was gonna do like a Lugia and Ho-Oh thing, because they're parallels in the games. Mm-hmm. They just don't care about that in the movie.
Ho-Oh's got a different fate.
Is there a movie for Ho-Oh? No, it's in the anime, because it's...
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Oh, they do. And they do a Lugia / Ho-Oh thing in Pokemon the movie I Choose You. So they like definitely looped back on that.
Mm.
But regardless, yeah, we got friends coming up. Do you want to take it to the plug zone?
Sure. So I'm SixDetmar. You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. You can have a pinned tweet there, which is now updated. I finally did it.
Yes.
And it's got all the shows that I do. And also shout outs to all the shows that I used to do separately in replies and stuff. And it also has a link to my Patreon, which is patreon.com/scanlinemedia. That's myself and my friend Jennifer Uncle. And, you know, we do shit. It's good shit. You should check it out. What about you, Alan?
It's extremely good shit. I want to vouch for Six's Twitter account. Even though I'm not on Twitter anymore, every once in a while I'll just, like, peek at my friend's public Twitters and be like, hey, what's going on? And Six's Twitter is very funny. V is playing Dragon Ball FighterZ these days. You got to catch those hands in the arena sometime. What do you say, top 3%? Let's really just flex on them.
I'm getting up there, right? I'm climbing the ranks in Dragon Ball FighterZ. It's very exciting. I will by the time this comes out, I will probably have streamed like 10 days ago or something. I don't know. But I'll have streamed a while ago and I'll probably stream again. Cuz it's a really fun game that I enjoy playing. And let me tell you something, Alan.
Yes.
After much debate, we ended up we were going to pick up Mortal Kombat 11. For neutral game. Okay. And it was a hard decision because that game has a fucking turf in it.
It does.
But other factors, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can listen to the episode and you know, we have a lot of thoughts. So I played through that story mode. That story mode's real good, right?
Yes.
It's a good story mode. And then I went online and I played 10 matches and I basically ran screaming back to Dragon Ball.
Wow.
I was like, I didn't realize how little fun I was having until I turned on, I switched out the disc, I put in Dragon Ball, and the PS4 pulled up that screen that's like, you know, loading it, you know, like the still image as it's loading the game, and I physically felt my shoulders relax.
Wow. So just put you into that state.
Yeah, because I love Dragon Ball, and I really don't like playing Mortal Kombat multiplayer.
Yeah. I don't know. I am not going to play the new one, obviously. I super won't. But whenever I like go to like a barcade and they're like, we have Mortal Kombat 1 and 3, and I'm like, okay, I'll put one quarter into this, and I just immediately hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because of those fucking... what are they called? What are the sticks called?
The bat sticks?
Yeah, bat sticks. And also the game.
I bet there was a time, like a year or two ago, where you wouldn't have had this refined fighting game taste. And it's really awesome to see your journey.
You've shaped me into the fucker that I am.
Between me and JM, we've gotten you there.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you, Alan? Why don't you plug some stuff?
Oh yeah, that whole thing. Hi, hello, I'm Alan Ibrahim. I am on some other podcasts. I'm currently on Chats, a television podcast, which is a show I've been hosting for a couple years with my friend Magellan, where we watch two episodes of a TV show every week. And right now we're going through Babylon 5. You should check that out and support our Patreon at patreon.com/chatspod. And if you want to listen to more stuff with me on it, I'm currently on Fireside Friends, which is a monthly podcast that I'm bringing back with my friends Ryan and Katie. We started it back in 2016, and we went on a hiatus for almost a full year, like 10 months to be exact. And we just recorded the comeback episode. It hasn't come out yet, but please stick tuned, because I fucking loved that episode, and I love Fireside Friends, and you should listen to it. It's sort of like a media chill discussion podcast. We watched Violet Evergarden.
For me, it's really been great because, I mean, first of all, I enjoyed Fireside Friends a lot, but also it's the reassembling of a cast that hasn't worked together in a while, and it's just like it's a great you all are a great crew to see getting back together again. It's really nice to see.
That's really nice to hear. Yeah, it was. We just like spent the whole night talking. Even after the mics were off, we like stayed up very late just talking because it was like, oh, my friends are back.
Oh, so you're gonna get burned out again and not record anymore?
Oh, we did. Okay. Well, thank you. And that, dear listener, is going to do it for. Actually, you can go. Give me this part, and then I'll give you the send off.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for us on this episode of the Jotacorum, listeners. Don't forget to, you know, like, favorite, subscribe. You know, smash that upvote. You know, push us on Upworthy and connect us on LinkedIn. And Alan, what do we say to him?
This is a game for kids, so let's be adults.
And adults use LinkedIn. Peace.
What about Dig? What about the Dodgers?
Diglett Dig.